Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Well, happy Resurrection Day. This whole weekend has been just supernatural for me. I've been just, you know, ever since Friday morning, man, when I got up and I realized that thousands of years ago, our Lord was being held captive, being tried, and then crucified later that day. And the impact of that for me is so amazing. And so, but I don't want to talk about the cross today. I want to talk about the resurrection. Everyone say the resurrection. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, it says, for all of you, say all of us, were baptized, say baptized, into Christ. Now, here's what you have to understand. When it talks about being baptized, it means being brought into. It doesn't mean dunked in water, right? I mean, there is the baptism of water, but there's a number of other baptisms, and this is the baptism of Christ, that we're brought into Christ. But watch what it says. It says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Say that, clothed ourselves with Christ. All right. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, say the first day. Early at dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away. They found this. I find that such a profound statement. You know what this is saying? That the rock is starting to roll. Come on, somebody. Some of you will get that. Okay. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Say clothing. It's so interesting. All throughout the Word of God, clothing is such an issue. I'm not talking about fashion. I'm talking about what covered people, right? And these two men, which I believe were angels, were in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Bless God. Glory to God. Kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's a Texas blessing, by the way. He's risen again. And they remembered these words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the other women were with them, were telling these things to the apostles. So these women went to the tomb. When they went to the tomb, they found that the stone had rolled away. And they looked inside and they found an empty tomb. Empty tomb. Look, you roll the stone away from Buddha's grave, he's still there. You roll the stone away from Confucius's grave, he's still there. You roll the stone away from any other Muhammad, any other, and they're still there. But how many of you know you roll the stone away from Jesus' grave and he's not there? Why? Because he's arisen. Touch someone, say, he's arisen.
He's arisen.
Answer them back, say, he is risen indeed. Yeah. That's the response, right? Back in my old Methodist days, like when you went on Resurrection Sunday and someone would shout out, he is risen, everybody shout back, he's risen indeed. Are you with me? Come on, let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, come on, I like that. Indeed, indeed. Now we give a little different account in the book of John. John brings out a few other of the details that I think is really important. This is John chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Ooh. Listen, when you lose someone you love, how many of you know that it's a time to mourn? It's a time to be sorrowful, right? That when you pursue someone for a long time, that when you lose them, sorrow comes. And she's standing outside the tomb, for she's lost one whom she has loved, and she stands there weeping. And so she wept, and she stooped, and she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. Just a little side note. In the Jewish culture, when you sat down to a meal, how many of you know you're given a napkin? When I was a little boy, they taught me, you know, I would do this thing. I'd be eating, I'd get something on my fingers, and what would I do? My dad would be, "Don't wipe your hands on your pants. That's what a napkin's for." Okay, all right. So eventually I got it, and eventually I had to say to my kids, "Don't wipe your hands on your pants." Now I say to my grandkids, "Don't wipe your hands on your pants," right? Not that my grandkids would do anything like that. But if the dog's nearby, they just let the dog lick their fingers off, you know. Oh my, that's right. So the napkin, right? But in the Jewish culture, there's something that you did. See, because they would eat for a long time. That's my kind of place, right? I like a 17-course meal, right? Like, but no, look, come on. When you're really enjoying family, you know, you don't just like woof down your meal and get up and go and go your separate things. Like, you're there to be part of each other, right? Like, I love spending time with my family eating a meal. It's a priority to us. And listen, what happens is they serve different courses, and you know, if you need to get up and leave, well, you take your napkin when you're done and you put it on your chair, right? But if you're going to come back to the meal, like if you just need to get up for a moment and come right back, you take your napkin and you fold it very neatly, and you put it on your plate, right? Y'all with me? And if you look in John chapter 20, matter of fact, let's turn there just real quick. I'm sorry, I didn't give this to you guys. This was kind of an extra. John chapter 20. It says that Peter and the other disciple, this is verse 3, so Peter and the other disciple went forth and were going to the tomb. Two of them were running together, and the other disciple ahead ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb. You know who the other disciple was, right? It was John. He made sure you knew that he ran faster than Peter. Isn't that like brothers? Listen, I'm telling you, you see my brothers come here, especially Charlie Coker, if he comes here, If he talks about our spiritual father, Papa Jack, who has passed away, he would say, you know, I was his favorite. You know, he would say that he was his favorite. It's how brothers roll, right? And so John's writing this. He's like, I ran faster than Peter. Just so all time and eternity can know that, okay? It says, and stooping in, watch this. In stooping in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following, entered the tomb, again, came following, all right, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, watch this, which he had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. It was put in a particular place. You know what he was saying? Jesus, when he took off his grave clothes, They put a cloth, a napkin, over their face of the dead person, right? But when he rose up, he took that napkin and he folded it and he put it where it belonged. You know what he was saying to them? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Someone give God a shout right now. All right. That was extra, okay? But here, I want you to see this. And so Mary, now this is right after that. Right after that, Mary and the women come in to embalm him with the spices, right? And she's standing there weeping. And why are you here? Don't you know that he's risen again? And watch this, verse 14. When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. How many of you know you can see Jesus and not quite know who he is? There are many people that have saw, like the Pharisees, they saw Jesus, but they didn't know who he was. The Romans saw Jesus, but they didn't know who he was. Pilate, he saw Jesus, but he didn't know who he was. Just because Jesus is in front of you does not necessarily mean that you will know who he is. There's a revelation from heaven that must come for you to know who he is. Are you with me? And so watch this. She turned around and there's Jesus, but she doesn't realize who he is. And he even speaks to her and says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, everyone say the gardener. She said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away." Why do you suppose she thought he was the gardener? I mean, she could have been, there were guards there. There were government officials that were coming and going to make sure Jesus stayed in the tomb. There were other disciples that were there. There were many people. Why do you suppose she saw him as a gardener? I'll tell you why, because she saw him for what he was. You say, what? My Jesus is a king. He's not a gardener. Oh, really? Be careful. Come on, help me preach it now. That's what I'm saying. He's a gardener. He is a gardener, isn't he? Come on, yes, he is. Don't you argue with me. I'm bigger than you. Watch this now. Watch this. Let's go back. Let's go back to where this all came undone. You understand Jesus had to go to the cross to accomplish the will of the Father, right? He didn't go to the cross. This one's for extra too. I mean, this is free. But look, he didn't go to the cross to take your punishment. We've said that before. We said he went to take away your punishment. No, he didn't. He did take away your punishment, but that's not why he went. He went to restore your obedience. He went to make it so you could obey God, right? Are you with me? All right, Now, so we go back to where this all came unglued. We go back to the garden. Everyone say, go back to the garden. Genesis 2, chapter 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in a garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it." Everyone say, cultivate and keep it. Yeah, so look, it says that he went back to the garden to cultivate and keep the garden. It doesn't say he was planting plants. He went there to cultivate and keep the garden. What was the garden? Well, we heard Alan talk about this last week. Was it last week he was here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Yeah. So, look, the garden, the temple, the tabernacle were all the same place. You understand, this was the place of the presence of God. Adam was placed in the garden to cultivate or to make grow and to keep the place of relationship with God. It wasn't about like growing figs. There were figs in the garden, but look, they didn't have to work those things. Like, God put all the trees that were necessary in the garden. They grew all kind of things we don't even have today. Like, there were T-bone trees. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, man, there were all kind of crazy trees in that garden. I believe that. I just believe when I go back to the garden that I'm going to like, oh, filet mignon. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. You say, well, that's impossible. Filets can't grow on trees. They come from cows. Look, there was no death back then. And yet God was God, and he made us how we are. Are you with me? And I just believe every good thing was in the garden, right? Oh, come on. You don't have to disagree with me or agree with me. I don't care. It's my story. I'm preaching. I got the microphone, all right? All right, so watch what he does. He said, listen, you're in the garden to cultivate and keep your relationship with me. Do you understand this? You understand it's your responsibility to cultivate and keep your desire for the presence of God. Y'all didn't get that. People say, well, it must happen for some reason. God must not want me to, like, walk with him like that anymore. Look, it is your responsibility to cultivate and keep the place of your relationship with God. It's your responsibility to cultivate and keep what is yours, your family. Like, stop. The Word of God says, train up in the way your children should go. Be proactive about the way that you bring them up in the Lord. Listen, if you let them just coast along, somebody is going to train them up, and it may not be you. Oh, that was free too. Okay, all right. Give God a hand clap if you believe that. All right, so watch this. He commanded God, God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. You don't gain any weight. It's all good. It's free. All right? It's good for you. It's healthy. Except, everyone say except. The tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And that's where it all came loose. Why? Why would God put Adam and Eve in the garden to tend and keep the garden and put right in the middle of it a tree and say, you can't eat of that one. I give you everything else, but you can't have that one. Why? Because if you don't learn to tend what is someone else's and not eat of it, then you can't learn how to live in agape. You can't love without tending what is someone else's that you should not eat of. And the whole point of this thing is to love. So God had to put that other tree in the garden so that you could learn to love while tending what is someone else's. I'm to steward my children. And there's things I have to do for them that it doesn't benefit me personally, you understand, but it will benefit them. There are things that I have to do with my wife. There are shows on TV I have to watch with my wife that, Lord Jesus, they don't help me a bit. But it's me spending time with my wife, and I know she enjoys that. I came into the bedroom the other day, and she was watching a show, and I know she really enjoying this show. It's a clean show. It's a nice show, but this thing flops around all over the place, and I don't follow it, and I just lay there, and she says, do you want me to shut it off? Oh, no. No, no. In all fairness, she would if I ask her to. All right, so watch this now. All right, so we see what happened. So we know Adam and Eve eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And so they fall. And now wait, they're still in the garden. Everyone say still in the garden. They're still in the garden. Now God is showing up. Okay? They listen, and listen, please don't consider that this happened like on the eighth day, okay? This did not happen in a brief moment. This may have taken millions or billions of years. We don't know how long they were in the garden because there was no death. There was no decay. We don't know how long they were there. It might have been a day. It might have been a billion years. I don't know. The point is that they weren't deceived easily. This happened. There was a reason that we can talk about some other time that Eve trusted the serpent. Just whet your appetite for another time. They've now eaten of the fruit and they've fallen. And what do? They realize they're naked. And so what do they go and do? They sew together fig leaves. I think we try to cover ourselves with fig leaves a whole lot, and it never really works out. All right? So verse 8, Genesis 3, verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, here's what they didn't hear. They didn't hear, tch, 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 God coming and walking toward it. It wasn't the footsteps that they heard. You understand? Because this is God. This is the Lord God. This is the creator of heaven and earth. This is the one who all creation is worshiping. This is before the separation of heaven and earth. And so all of heaven and all of earth worships him. And when his manifest presence gets close, it intensifies. And when you heard him walking toward you, you would hear the worship that would go before him. You would hear all of creation crying out, "Yes, God, you're the best God. There's no one like you, God." You heard the trees swaying to God. You saw every petal on every flower somehow trying to reach out and adore him. This sound was the most beautiful sound that mankind could ever hear. It was creation responding to their creator. And so as Adam and Eve were in the garden and God would come near them, they would hear this sound coming, and they were drawn to that sound until they ate of the fruit. It says, then they knew they were naked. Now watch this. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Do you know that word cool is not talking about temperature? You understand that, right? Do you know what the word, the Hebrew word for cool is? The word ruach. Do you know what the word ruach means? Breath or wind. It's the same word in the New Testament, the word pneuma, that means the breath of God, the spirit of God. In other words, as God was coming near them, they heard him and all creation worshiping him. And then it happened in as the wind, the breath of God, the word of John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, when you speak with breath. You speak with, it's the wind. And what was happening, as he would draw near them, creation was worshiping him. That was the sound. But then they would feel the coolness, the refreshing. They would hear his voice. Ooh. Then the Lord God called to man. Why did he have to call to man? Because they hid from him. Where are you? And Adam replied this way. He said, I heard the sound of you. I heard all creation worshiping you. Normally, I would have been drawn to you. Normally, we would have run out and sought to find you. We would seek your presence. When we heard the other parts of creation worshiping you, we would want to join in because that's how you made us, God. But something happened. Something died within us. That died within me. I don't want to seek you anymore. I'm wanting to hide from you. Watch what it says. For I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. I want to visit that one more time. I was afraid because I was naked. Everyone say that. I was afraid because I was naked. I believe that every fear can be rooted to the fact that you're naked. Now, wait a minute. Didn't they put together fig leaves and cover themselves? But here's what I want to tell you. When you try to cover yourself with fig leaves, you're always ultimately going to feel naked, and you'll want to run and hide from God. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hold on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. We read this already. For you all were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. Luke 23, 34. When Jesus was on the cross, it says, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. See, there's that clothing thing again. What garments was he wearing? He wore an ephod on the inside of his clothing that was a priestly garment that had no seam within it. You understand what he wore when they stripped it off of him because he was naked on the cross. I hope that doesn't offend you. But he had no shame because he was never unclothed. I mean, to men he was, but he was, the glory of God was always upon him. And even when they took off his priestly robes, he was never naked. But these soldiers, they were fighting, they were gambling over who got his garments. And isn't that just like man? You want to be covered by God, but you'll crucify him at the same time. Here's where I'm going to end. Back to the garden. Verse 21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and his wife, and he clothed them. And I believe that God had to make a sacrifice to speak of something that was to come. I believe that animal that he made the skin from, I believe it was a lamb. And the blood had to be shed. And it says that he made a garment to cover them. He took the skin of that lamb and made a covering for them. May I say to you that this was a temporary thing of something that was about to come. Now, I want to try to bring this all together. Do you remember what Mary said about Jesus? She thought he was a... Where does a gardener work? In the garden. When Jesus was on the cross, there were two men on either side. One was severely mocking him, and the other was saying, why would you mock this man? He's done nothing wrong. And he turned to Jesus, and he said to Jesus these curious words, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And what did Jesus say to him? He said, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. Do you know what the word paradise, when you look at the original Greek language, do you know what that word is? Some would say it is Sheol, and it's not. It's the word garden. Today, you will be with me in the garden. I asked Jesus the other day. I was sitting at the table of the Lord, and I have conversations with the Lord. You do too. And I expect that he answers me, and he does, and you do too. And I said to Jesus, where did you go immediately after the cross? Because I always taught that he descended to hell. He took my sin and your sin, and he put it where it belonged. He put his foot on Satan's neck, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended to Sheol, took those that were righteous, and ascended to the Father. On the way, he saw Mary, and this is where she saw him and said, hey, don't cling to me. I got to go to the Father, right? But I said, but Lord, something, I'm missing something. And he said, where did I say that I would go? His words, today you will be with me in the garden. And I said, Lord, where? Look, it's me. I get it. You all are smarter than this, but for me, I need help with this stuff. And so I ask lots of questions to the Lord. I'm like the little boy that is like, well, what's that mean? Well, what's that? What do you mean by that? Well, how does that work? I mean, that's the way I was growing up, and I'm that way with the Lord, right? And so I said, Lord, I don't see it. He said, let me show you again. And the Lord God made, appointed garments, tunics of the skin, which also means body, for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. Do you see it? Jesus went back to the garden, to the place of the original crime, and became the covering of all mankind. He went back to the garden, but here's the key. You see, in the first act, an animal was sacrificed and covered mankind. But when Jesus returned to the garden and invited mankind back, he said, come into me and live within me. I don't want to just be your covering. I want you to come into me, and I will be one with you, and you will be one with me. Stand up as we close. Ooh. That was a lot of stuff. Here's what I want you to see. God doesn't want to be a robe that you put on and take off. He doesn't want to be a covering. See, when it says the Lord God formed, made, that word made means appointed. He appointed there to be a robe of the body. At that time, he was declaring that Jesus would become that which covers, that which completes the body of Christ, if they come into him. Here's what I'm saying. Don't make Jesus just a covering your sin. Come into him and become one with him. And let him become one with you. See, if we just make him a covering, then when we want to be rebellious toward God, when we want to, like, well, I'm just that mad that I'll just have to get forgiveness later. No, don't do it. Don't eat of that tree. You're in him, and he is in you. Remember what he said on the cross, the very last words that he said, it is finished. I've made a way for you to be obedient to the Father at all times. You don't have to sin. Don't. Like Kevin said this morning, stop saying you're a sinner. Stop living in sin. You don't need to. There's no reason to. If you do, if you remember Leif's teaching, if you come out of the first chair and get in the second chair, all right, all that means is you have a big invitation back to the first chair. The Father's not keeping you there. He doesn't shame you. He's not saying, oh, you're bad. You went from good, now you're bad. Shame on you. He never puts shame on you. He removes shame from you. He never keeps you in that place of sin. in that place of punishment, it's always the invitation to come up here. You're my sons. You're my daughters. You're accepted. You're good. I am in you, and you are in me. And I went back to the garden, and I fixed it all. I transformed what was made wrong, what was undone. I've completed. And now, I am yours, and you are mine. You are my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's who you are. And you say, Pastor, look, I don't even know that I'm in Christ right now. I never heard some of this stuff. Maybe you're listening, or maybe you're watching, and you're saying, or maybe you're here right now, and you're saying, like, I don't know that I've ever done that. Listen, it's a big invitation. What Jesus did is done for everyone. It's yours to accept, but remember, it's your responsibility to cultivate and keep your relationship with God, initially and from here on out. Jesus made the way that we can be completely sin-free. We don't have to sin. We don't have to bow our knee. We can be obedient to God at all times. He made the way. And even when you do stumble, there's the big invitation right back. Don't stay there. So if you would please, just close your eyes for a minute. And if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever felt like I was in Christ. I don't know that I've ever come in and become his and he becomes mine, but I want that. I want that right now. And if that's you, I want you right now just acknowledge that to heaven and on earth, and just raise your hand right now. You say, that's me, Pastor. I want that. I want that to be for the rest of my days. Amen. I see that hand up front. Amen. Is there anyone else? You're saying, that's me. Amen, sweetheart. Thank you. God bless you. If you're at home or you're in your car, wherever you are hearing my voice right now, if that's you, just raise your hand up to God and say, God, I want to be in you, and I want you to be in me. You gave your blood. You went to the cross. You rose up from the dead so that I could be free from sin and death. And I want to live in you. And I want to celebrate your life in me. And if you believe that right now, you just say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I desire from this day forward to live for you. And listen, if you've been apart from Jesus for whatever reason, if you've been in the second chair, or even in the third chair where you're completely lost, it's just the big invitation to come. Come and live as a son. Live as a daughter. Live in that place of acceptance, forgiveness, and mercy, and provision, and defense. Live in that place where he forms your identity. You don't have to worry about any of that anymore. As a matter of fact, he wants you to quit worrying about it. And just allow him to speak to you about what your next day looks like. What you look like in that next day. Because that's who he is, your father, who loves you with all of his heart. So, Father, I ask you to bless them. That you keep them. That you make your face to shine on them. You lift up your countenance on them now. Give them your peace and your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving us in that place that we don't desire the presence of the Father anymore, but you fixed it. You made a way that I would return to the Father. You said, Lord, you've come to reveal the Father. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Just whisper that. Everyone in this house, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you that we can celebrate that you're the only one who rose up from the grave. Now death has no place over us. Sin has no power. The grave we do not fear. in Jesus' mighty name. City Church, go and be blessed. Happy Resurrection Day. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.